everybody. Welcome back to another fantasy team preview here on the South Harmon Network. I am Eric Vanek. Find me on Twitter at EricVanekNFL and joined by Koopa. And this time, Koopa, we got the Cincinnati Bengals on tap for everybody. So coach still is Zach Taylor. He is also the play caller here. Offensive coordinator is Dan Pitcher. Some of the key players that left here this offseason for the Bengals, you had wide receiver Tyler Boyd leave. Obviously, Joe Mixon did get traded, and tackle Jonah Williams, who they drafted in the first round a few years ago, also left in free agency this offseason. Missing targets and vacated air yards are going to be missing 259 targets for 906 vacated air yards this offseason. And then quarterbacks, Cooper, why don't you go ahead and start us off with the Bengals quarterbacks?
Yeah, so we have Joe Burrow. Everyone knows who Joe Burrow is. He's an absolutely solid quarterback. For fantasy purposes, he is ranked as quarterback 7 coming into the season. And I think that is very fair for him. So he's not somebody that's going to be a complete difference maker, especially if you're in a one quarterback league, but he's definitely a solid quarterback, especially if you're in a super flex league. His backup is Jake Browning, who last year took over when Joe Burrow went down with injury, and he played quite well. He won a lot of people their fantasy championships for people that picked him up off waivers and stuck him in their lineups. He was a rookie there last year. I fully expect that he's going to be the backup probably here and through the end of his rookie contract. They also have Logan Woodside and Rocky Lombardi. And I could see either of those two guys being that, that quarterback 3. I don't necessarily know exactly how NFL teams, if they decide to put somebody more experienced as their quarterback 3, or whether they're going to take somebody that's a rookie, which Rocky Lombardi would be, and potentially stick him like on a practice squad. It kind of up to them. They all do their own thing with that. But the two guys to really know about are Joe Burrow and Jake Browning.
Yeah, Joe Burrow, obviously really, really good. Coming off a serious injury, though, so we'll see how he bounces back from that. There was video of all that, him throwing already in off-season work with the Bengals, so I think Joe Burrow will be just fine, especially for fantasy this year. I think he's, like, we still haven't had that year of him and Ja'Marr Chase fully healthy for the full entire season. You know, we haven't seen that Ja'Marr Chase have that Justin Jefferson, you know, CeeDee Lamb type season yet. So it's coming. Like, the guy is way too talented. Burrow is way too damn talented to not have that type of season. So it's coming eventually at some point, in my opinion. Jake Browning, like you talked about, one of the best stories last year of, like, guy that nobody ever heard of to going in and winning games for the Bengals, almost getting them to the playoffs there later in the year, was winning some big games, especially in fantasy, like you mentioned. Like, he had multiple 300-yard passing games. I know me and you both had him in some best ball leagues, and he helped us win, you know, multiple weeks in a row there at the end. So this was a great keep last year by the Bengals. They kept him over Brandon Allen. Brandon Allen is a guy who was the veteran that Joe Burrow really liked. So that was a big surprise for me at cuts, but it paid off. The Bengals know what the hell they're doing. They only kept two quarterbacks on their initial 53 last year. I think it's going to be the same this year. I think it's going to be Burrow and Browning. Logan Woodside is fucking terrible, so I don't know why he's on this team, but hey, it's a veteran quarterback. Guy can throw some passes, I guess. I don't know. Rocky Lombardi, I honestly don't know much about. So we'll see what happens there with the quarterbacks. Running backs, though. So they brought in Zach Moss here from the Colts, signed him in the offseason to kind of help replace Joe Mixon a little bit. PFF grade is 66.9, 42nd of 59 last year, which is kind of surprising to me because Moss, I thought, had a really good season, but only 46 of 59. So maybe, like, the PFF grades weren't as good for him. Chase Brown is still there, 2023 fifth rounder, who really came on at the end of the last season there, so nice to see him back. Travion Williams, Chris Evans, those guys are still back. They've been on the teams for quite a while, but have never really produced at all, especially for fantasy. Then they brought in two UDFAs who I think have a shot to make the roster as long as they play pretty good in the preseason here. And that's Noah Kane, the former Penn State running back who then went to LSU after Nick Singleton basically came in there. And Noah Kane had some injuries as well. And then Elijah Collins from Oklahoma State, who I actually kind of liked a little bit. So if I had to pick one of these two that I would be rostering in my super deep leagues, it would be Elijah Collins there for the Bengals. What did you think about these running backs?
Yeah, Zach Moss and Chase Brown, it's probably going to be like a 1A, 1B kind of situation. They're both guys that I am interested in owning, especially on lineup teams where, hey, I don't have strong running backs. Like, I'm just trying to find somebody that I can plug in here and there to spot start for me. Zach Moss is somebody that you can probably do that easily with. Chase Brown is somebody that has a little bit more upside, in my opinion. Of if he ends up taking over that backfield, he's just got he has the chance to become like a surprise, like RB2, potentially back end RB1 kind of guy. Travion Williams, I think, is probably just going to end up being on the roster still. He's a guy for them that has done a lot of kick return work. He's done a lot of special team stuff for them. He's just one of those guys that he earns his roster spot in other ways. But he doesn't end up, even in previous years, just hasn't end up really showing in the backfield very much. But he's one of those guys that's more of listed as a running back, but doesn't necessarily play as a running back. Chris Evans, he's actually been the guy that, in my opinion, has done a little bit more at the running back position for the Bengals in previous years than Travion Williams. But they haven't really needed him too much because they haven't really come down with too many injuries in Cincinnati in the running back room. So I think it's going to be a little bit of an uphill battle for either of those two UDFAs to beat out one of those guys for one of those spots. But I also don't think it's a huge hurdle if one of those guys is maybe passed over by the teams just because they didn't have as much good on tape. But when you get them in the practice facility, all of a sudden you start seeing something, then one of those guys could probably jump over a Chris Evans or a Travion Williams.
Yeah, I think Travion's kind of cemented on that team, especially in special teams and stuff. Chris Evans, you know, he's played special teams as well, but like you said, he just hasn't really done much at the running back spot, even when he's had some opportunities. So we'll see what happens there. Wide receiver-wise here, we got Ja'Marr Chase, obviously one of the best in the league. PFF grade last year of 85.3, which is 13th of 128. T. Higgins on the franchise tag. He had a PFF grade last year of 72.1, which is 45th of 128. Third round pick, Jermaine Burton this year. Trenton Irwin still there. Andre Osivas, 2023 sixth round pick. Charlie Jones, 2023 fourth round pick. And then some UDFAs they've had for the last couple of years, Kwame Lassiter, Kendrick Pryor, and Shedrick Jackson are still there. And then they brought in two more UDFA wide receivers this year, and Cole Burgess from SUNY Cortland, which I've never heard of before, and Trey Mosley, a Michigan State product. They kept six wide receivers on their 53-man roster last year, so I think it's going to be Chase, Higgins, Jermaine Burton are obviously the locks. Trent Irwin has really earned his spot. And I think Osivas and Charlie Jones are, you know, they spent some good capital on those guys. Those guys are probably going to be your main six. What do you think about the wide receivers here?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be those six. Obviously Ja'Marr Chase, a top three wide receiver, no matter who you look at. T. Higgins, he's somebody that for this coming season, we see him as like a back end wide receiver two, high end wide receiver three. The only thing to watch out for with him would be a potential, like, if he decides to hold out rather than play on the franchise tag. But outside of that, I think that he's going to be a solid wide receiver for just about any team. The one that is most intriguing to me is to see where Jermaine Burton ends up. Because if Jermaine Burton ends up taking over that Tyler Boyd slot role, like, that could be really useful, especially in best ball leagues, to just have a guy like the Tyler Boyd was a very productive in terms of as a third wide receiver on a team compared to most of the other wide receiver threes in the NFL. And so if Jermaine Burton's able to take over that role and be as productive, he's going to be very useful, not only for this year, but potentially if T. Higgins ends up leaving, you might see even more come from him in future seasons as well.
Yeah, I think with Burton too, he has the ability to play inside and out. So I think that's going to allow them to play Ja'Marr Chase in the slot a little bit more than they've had in the past, just because Tyler Boyd was pretty much in the slot only and nowhere else. So that's going to allow them to put Ja'Marr Chase more in the slot this year, which I think is going to be a big benefit. If you look at what CeeDee Lamb has done the last couple of years, he's done a lot of his damage from the slot. So I think Ja'Marr Chase could be something similar this year, which I'm really looking forward to. I agree with you. He's a top three wide receiver pretty easy for me this year. Kind of looking at Jermaine Burton, so let's look at him, what Dane Brugler had to say. Overall, Burton underperformed in college and still has maturing to do, but he has NFL level skill, athleticism, and ball skills, which make him worth the gamble on draft weekend. He will be a better pro than college player if he stays football focused. He had 39 catches at Alabama last year for 57 targets, 798 yards, and 8 touchdowns. Played on 297 pass snaps, 59 in the slot, 238 out wide. So he was definitely more outside player at Bama. 68.5 against man coverage grade, 0 drops last year, which is a good thing on his resume. He rarely dropped the ball, so that was good to see. 3.3 yak, so he wasn't a really big yak guy. Tied for fourth or 43rd in the country. 20.2 ADOT though, fourth in the country. So he was going down the field on most of his targets. 11 catches for 484 yards on his deep balls. Only 5 catches for 136 in the slot last year. He's good with his releases off the line of scrimmage. He can run the whole route tree, but ran a lot of vertical stuff at Alabama. He has a smaller frame, smaller catch radius, but I think he's in a really good system here with the Bengals. So I am excited to see what he can do. Onto the Bengals tight ends real quick. So Mike Gesicki signed here in the offseason. PFF grade last year, 55.7, which was 51st of 72. Drew Sample they brought back. Tanner Hudson, who me and you both have an affinity for. He was one of our best waiver pickups last year that really won us some games. Eric All was drafted in the fourth round out of Iowa, 2024 fourth round pick. Tanner McLaughlin, who was one of my favorite tight ends in the entire class, he went to them in the sixth round. I actually think he's better than Eric All. And then Cam Grandy, they brought in a UDFA out of Illinois State. They did keep three tight ends on the roster last year, and I think this year it's probably going to be, I'm thinking, four tight ends, because they have legit five tight ends here with Gesicki, Sample, Hudson, Eric All, and McLaughlin. I don't think they're going to be able to sneak an All or McLaughlin onto the roster. So I honestly think it's going to be Tanner Hudson that's the one that gets cut, even though I like Tanner Hudson. But Gesicki can do a lot of the same stuff. Drew Sample, they just re-signed. They could cut Drew Sample. I did hear from Scott Connor that Drew Sample is going to probably play more fullback this year than tight end. So maybe they can finagle their way into getting Sample as the fullback. And then they keep Gesicki, Hudson, All, and McLaughlin, the four tight ends that way. So I think that maybe is the way they go as well. But what were your thoughts here on the tight ends for the Bengals?
Yeah, I kind of agree that out of all those guys, Hudson is the one that, even though he did well for us last year, he ended up doing well just because they didn't have a good tight end. They had brought in Irv Smith to be that supposed pass catching tight end, and he just is not it. And I see he's gone over to the Chiefs. If you're trying to pick up Irv Smith because he's on the Chiefs, don't waste a roster spot on him. But even Gesicki, like, he's in the past done some good stuff as a receiving tight end. I don't think that he's going to end up doing that here in Cincinnati. Even when they had Hayden Hurst years ago, I was like, oh, how did Hayden Hurst do? And I went and looked it up, and he was like 28th or something like that, like when he played almost the entire year. And it's like, okay, they just don't use the tight end. And I think part of that is just because you look at their receiver room. They've got amazing receivers. Joe Burrow has no reason to be throwing to that tight end over the middle. Complete opposite of the Ravens that we were just talking about yesterday, in terms of the Ravens don't have any receivers, so they throw a ton of Mark Andrews. The Bengals are the exact opposite. Realistically, I don't want any of these guys unless you're in a best ball, like tons of points for tight end catches, because obviously somebody's going to catch a few passes here and there. If you're in one of those leagues where like every time a tight end catches a pass, they just get 3 points for catching the pass, like, okay, I can justify rostering a couple of these guys. But other than that, I'm not really touching anyone in the Bengals tight end room until we get to the season and you end up needing to do a tight ends don't matter strategy and you're just snagging somebody off the waiver wire sort of thing.
Yeah, I am really interested to see what Gesicki can do with this offense. Like he went to New England and he was never used. They never used him right. Like that whole New England staff, like the last year was just, I don't know what the hell they're doing. And then obviously with Miami, when Mike McDaniel went there and he was used there, he wasn't used right there either. So maybe this is finally the year we can finally see a good Mike Gesicki year like we've seen in his early years at Miami. So I am looking forward to that. He could be really good in the slot for them. That's kind of where he's been used best, is in the slot. So that's another guy that can play there. So I like that fit there. Tanner Hudson, we talked about a little bit. Eric All is a good, like, all around tight end. McLaughlin is the receiving tight end. He kind of reminded me of Luke Musgrave a little bit when I watched him. Maybe not as fast as Luke Musgrave and fluid, but he was pretty close. So I really liked McLaughlin. I think that's the guy I'm watching for the future, and I want to kind of pick up off of waivers in my deep leagues or draft in like the round five range of my deep leagues. If the tight ends actually do matter in your league, if it's just like a 1.5 premium or a start one or whatever, I'm not going to be too interested in holding him for very long. But that's a guy that I want to roster if I can. So just some quick highlights on both All and McLaughlin. Overall, Eric All needs to continue developing his consistency, but he is a solid all across the board with his athletic receiving traits and willingness as a blocker. If healthy, which is a big if, he projects as a number two tight end on an NFL depth chart as an F tight end or an H back. And then on Tanner McLaughlin from Brugler. Brugler had McLaughlin higher than All, just like I did on my rankings as well. But overall, McLaughlin is a good-sized athlete who can shine at the catch point with his strong ball skills. Although his development with routes and run blocking will determine his NFL ceiling, he projects as a reserve tight end with a chance to be a long-term contributor. So really interested to see what they can do this year. Quickly on to the offensive line for the Bengals. They were 26th last year, so not very good. Ted Karras, their center, was probably their best guy last year. Karras allowed 5 sacks in his first 6 games of the season, but he gave up just 1 sack in his final 11 outings, so that was good to see with them. So this year, they have Orlando Brown Jr., who they brought back at left tackle, 66.1 PFF grade, which was 45th of 81. For a guy you're paying that much money, he needs to be a lot better. So got to see some improvement there from Orlando Brown Jr. Jackson Carmen, a 2021 second round pick, as his backup. Cordell Volson is back again, 2022 fourth round pick. He had a 58.3 PFF grade at guard last year, 42nd out of 79, which was, again, not great, but it's got to improve a little bit. Cody Ford, a free agent signing out of Arizona, is their backup. Ted Karras, the center, PFF grade 67.4, which is 15th of 36, so middle of the road center. Trey Hill, a 2021 sixth round pick, is his backup. Alex Kappa, who they also brought in last year, he had a PFF grade of 64.9, which was 24th of 79. So pretty decent year from Alex Kappa. He did get hurt towards the end of last year, which kind of really squashed a lot of their I know that was in the playoffs 2 years ago. I'm sorry, when Kappa got hurt. But yeah, he's been really good for them. Jackson Kirkland, a 2023 UDFA, is his backup right now. And then Trent Brown, one of the good signings they had this offseason, he is going to play right tackle for them. 1 year, $4.75 million deal last year. He was a 80.2 at left tackle for the Patriots last year, PFF grade, which was 11th out of 81 tackles last year. So, moving him over to the right side now, that is a decent size upgrade over Jonah Williams, who they had lost this offseason. And then Amarius Mims is the backup right now, the 2024 first round pick. Big mountain, big mole of clay that they got to mold into a starting caliber tackle. I think as long as Brown Jr. and Trent Brown are both healthy, Amarius Mims is probably going to sit on the bench, maybe for the first half of the year. But I wouldn't be shocked if like one of these guards struggles and maybe they move Amarius Mims into guard, at some point this season just to get him out there. So we'll see what happens there. Some highlights from Brugler on Amarius Mims. Overall, Mims isn't as far along fundamentally, especially in the run game, as other tackles in this class. He's only started 14 games, so he's not very experienced at all. But he has a natural and pass protection with above average length, footwork, and body twitch to handle different types of edge rushers. Though there is projection involved with his draft grade, his best football is ahead of him, and he has the talent to become a long-term starter at left or right tackle. So really good highlights there for Amarius Mims. Kick returner and punt returner. Go ahead with those, Koopa.
Yeah, so kick returner, the primary guy, I already called him out earlier, of Travion Williams. He's probably going to be doing the kick return duties again. Chase Brown also kick returned a couple times towards the end of the year, so that also coincided with him doing better out of the backfield, so maybe they want to give him a little bit of run. I don't know if he's having a major role in the backfield that they're going to want him back there returning kicks, though. So you might look into Chris Evans potentially doing that again. And Charlie Jones took over as the punt returner last year, and he did a good enough job that he's probably going to end up being their punt returner again this year. So unfortunately, the Bengals don't have one of those guys that does both the kick returns and punt returns. You're getting one or the other.
So, fantasy wise on this team, I am looking for a big Ja'Marr Chase year. I think this, I mean, it's got to happen here at some point. The guy is way too talented to not be, exploding for one of these 1800, 1900 yard seasons. Like it's gotta happen at some point. So maybe it's this year now that he gets to play more in the slot with Tyler Boyd gone. So I'm really excited what Burrow and Chase can do. Hopefully these offensive line upgrades, that can at least go from, wherever they're at 26 last year, can they get up to like 15? Like I'm not expecting them to be a top five unit in the league, but if they can improve a little bit, keep Joe Burrow upright, I think they have a really good shot. So Ja'Marr Chase, I'm interested in. They don't have Joe Mixon to lean on. Like, I think it is obviously a downgrade from Joe Mixon to Zach Moss and Chase Brown. So I think they're going to rely on the pass a little bit more this year. So that's what I'm looking for, fantasy wise. How about you?
Yeah, I'm looking at the same thing of Ja'Marr Chase. We're just waiting for all the pieces to click together. They just have not quite done that. We've seen that it can, and it just hasn't done that over the course of a full season. And then that backfield, it's going to be such a big question of what does that split look like? Does either of them fully take it over, or are we just going to be stuck with a two-headed split where neither guy is really a difference maker for your team, and you might end up being in a situation where you want to force yourself to sell a Joe Mixon or Chase Brown during the season, just so that way, especially if you're playing a true any running back on a 53 strategy, like they aren't going to be the difference making guys for your team. Like if you can easily replace that production off of the backups that are taking over for injured starters around the rest of the league, like that would be more than enough to be like, all right, yeah, I'm just getting rid of these guys. But if one of them takes over, they could end up being a really good running back, especially if this line takes that step forward that we're hoping it does.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is it for the Cincinnati Bengals team preview here. We will see you guys on the next one with the Cleveland Browns.